as we're receiving and remembering the Lord Jesus in the way that he gave us to remember him at his table. But they are dismissed to learn about Jesus, strong and kind. It's a great series they're learning about Jesus. And we are also looking this morning to the gospel according to Luke, the good news about Jesus. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 5 and the first 11 verses. The title of the message is Fishing with Jesus to be like Jesus. Because Jesus' life can be your life. But you must let go of your nets and follow Jesus as his apprentice. Look with me at Luke's gospel biography of Jesus in Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. As we're gathered together this morning, is everything within you pressing towards this Jesus? Is there a hunger in your soul to hear God's good news message? Because this is how Luke describes this mass of humanity crowded around Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, also known as Gennesaret. And so the setup reminds us, first of all, that Jesus satisfies those who are hungry for his teaching. Jesus satisfies those who are hungry for his teaching. Luke has told us that people all over the region now are thunderstruck. They are full of astonishment at Jesus and the things that Jesus is teaching. And Luke tells us that Jesus is operating perfectly according to his mission purpose from the Father. He has his Father's approval. He has the Holy Spirit's empowerment. And Jesus is not distracted from his purpose. He's preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. Chapter 4, verse 44. And people show up. They are eager to encounter Jesus. In fact, on this certain occasion, people are so eager to listen to Jesus that he is being pressed by the crowd against the lapping waves of the lake. He's run out of real estate, right? He's got nowhere to go before his feet are going to be wet. But Jesus sees a couple of empty fishing boats right there. The fishermen are washing their long, heavy mesh of netting that they use for catching fish. And Jesus hops right into Simon's boat and asks Simon to move the boat out a little farther from the shore so Jesus can teach all the people that are crowded on the shore. He can teach them from the boat. It's about a 30-foot long fishing boat. And Jesus says, hey, this is a very good solution for getting the message out. And you know, there's no better word than the word that Jesus speaks. His message meets hungry souls with true satisfaction. And please understand, today, if you never have before, Jesus not only sees the crowds of needy people, Jesus sees each person's need. He sees your need and he sees my need. He sees everybody's need. Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. So notice, secondly, Jesus encourages those who are frustrated by empty nets. He encourages the people who are frustrated by their empty nets. After Rabbi Jesus concludes speaking to the people from Simon's kind of boat pulpit, Jesus has a very personal word for Simon Peter. Let's get out to the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. That last part's very important, right? Let's get out to the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. It's the word of Jesus that conveys his gracious purpose. Those nets are going to be let down and they're going to bring in a catch. It's really more than, as some people say, a concept of a plan. Okay? Jesus sees Simon in his frustration. And Jesus is determined to do something amazing. Something life-changing for Simon. And Simon responds to the master teaching by stating the obvious, you know. He knows Jesus as a rabbi, as a spiritual master. Master, we've been working all night long, and we got nothing. No fish, nada. But okay, you know, okay. I mean, I'm the pro fisherman, you're like not. But okay, I'll go out and I'll let down the nets. And you kind of imagine Simon really struggling with his ego as he sails the boat out into deep water. Simon knows that in the daytime, the deep water is not nearly as good as the shallows for catching fish. And Simon knows that there's really, this is not the best timing. It's not the best spot. And furthermore, he's tired and he's frustrated from a whole night of fishing with those very heavy nets and not catching any fish. Let me ask you, what's the best part of fishing? It's the catching. Yeah. Because if you are like catch and release, or you're like catch and let's eat, or you're like catch and sell, the catching comes first. Just a quick story from about 30 years back. I am not a fisherman. I've rarely fished for fish. But about a month after getting married, I went fishing with my father-in-law, Dave. And that morning, we were out in, I think it's called Triangle Lake in Brighton, I hooked this big, beautiful bass. It was a good sized bass, okay? And I was so happy that I hooked that fish, like being ignorant about fishing. I was the first one to hook a fish that morning. I hooked the fish before Dave, or Old Marv, it was his boat. They're up in the front with like all these fishing, you know, several fishing hooks in the water. And I caught my fish first before them, even before my younger brother, who was basically just cracking jokes, and the older guys were a little upset. You're going to scare the fish with all your laughing, you know. And, But here comes this fish. I'm like, it's on. And as I reel that fish out of the water, and all of my inexperience and all of my excitement, I swung that hooked fish trying to get it back into the boat. And you know what? I swung that fish right against the top of the pontoon boat, and the impact knocked the fish back into the water. And so that was the one that got away. And you can imagine the other guys are just shaking their heads at me like, how ridiculous. And the only reason, I still remember this, 30 years ago, my wife was like, well, you want to get up at that hour to go fishing? Well, like, fine, you know. Like, the only reason I went fishing that morning, so early in the morning, was because of the invitation of my father-in-law, Dave. And we see here the only reason that Simon gives for going out into that deep water is the word of Jesus. But really, what more is needed than the word of Jesus? One of my personal mentors, a dear friend who's home with the Lord, he used to tell me, remember ego, E-G-O. It stands for easing God out. Easing God out of your thinking. Because humility recognizes the truth. Jesus has the powerful authority. Jesus is the life-changing message. Jesus knows better than you do. And what is Jesus doing here? Understand, Jesus has already been developing relationships with Simon Peter and his brother Andrew and their buddies, Zeb's boys, right? James and John. So understand, this is not their first encounter with Jesus. They had been hearing Jesus preaching. They've been watching Jesus healing, even Simon's mother-in-law. And on this day, Jesus determines to show his gratitude for the use of Simon's boat, after all, and more importantly, to uniquely identify himself to Simon and the other guys. So they let down their nets, just like they had been doing all night long, like they had been doing their whole lives. But this time, so many fish, they let these nets down right in kind of a big circle. And so many fish swim into these deep water nets, more than they've ever seen, that the nets are straining. They're beginning to break. The boats are beginning to take on water. And I just imagine just the biggest smile on Simon's face. He's so happy. This is a valuable catch. He's like, cha-ching. And Simon signals for help from James and John, the partner boat. And now there's even more fish. And both boats are so full of fish, they're in danger of sinking. There's like as many fish as they could possibly catch. They're at max capacity. And guess what? Now these very experienced and professional fishermen, they're no longer thinking about last night. They're no longer thinking about their exhaustion and their frustration and their depression, because they're so amazed at this huge catch. It's the best catch they've ever caught by far. I mean, what in the wide world of fishing is going on, right? But here's the takeaway. We see in verses 8 through 11, Jesus calls for followers who will leave everything to fish like Jesus, to bring people to life. The maxed out catch kind of suddenly trips a light bulb realization in Simon Peter's heart. And Simon falls down before Jesus right there in that boat, and he cries out, "Oh Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." It's a pivotal moment in Simon Peter's life. He never forgot this moment. Simon thought that he knew pretty much everything there was to know about fishing. His whole life had been fishing the Sea of Galilee with the Capernaum crew. But now Simon knows that this catch of fish is something supernatural. Simon knows it's really all about Jesus. And Simon is spiritually, he's undone. He's totally wrecked in his spirit. All the fish are truly identifying this man that is in Simon's boat. This Jesus of Nazareth, he's more than a man. He's more than a rabbi. This Jesus is the Lord. It's more than a title of respect. Jesus knows there's something supernatural. Simon knows there's something supernatural about Jesus. Simon knows his Bible pretty well as well. You know, he knows that the Lord has revealed himself in the scriptures. He knows God's Ten Commandments. He knows the priority of loving in a biblical way. In fact, I think Simon was probably known by his family and friends as a pretty good guy. You know, a good old boy. But sometimes the Lord works in very mysterious ways. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes the Lord works in very mysterious ways, ways that make you wake up to the real reality and make you think of true identities. Who am I? Before the Master of all masters, the Lord of all lords, who am I? And you notice Simon changes the way that he's addressing Jesus, and it's significant because he's confessing what he knows. Lord, I am a sinful man and you know it. So depart from me. I don't belong in your presence, O Lord. I don't deserve any of your favors. I don't deserve all these fish. Think about it. It's really the gracious favor of Jesus that is causing Simon to come undone. Why are you so good to me, Lord? You're too good to be in my boat. I'm just a sinner. You're the Holy One. You are the Lord. Simon Peter is trembling on his knees. And I pray you've had a moment like this. But Jesus responds as only Jesus can. He's so kind. And he's so merciful. And he's so intentional. Think about, why is Jesus in Simon Peter's boat? I mean, really. Why did Jesus show up? Jesus came to save sinners. This scene is somewhat reminiscent of Israel. You remember Exodus 19, how Israel is trembling before the thundering presence of the Lord God Almighty. After God has rescued them out of Egypt, and Mount Sinai it's on fire and it's smoking and it's trembling with God's presence, and God's people are trembling before him. But then through Moses, God reveals in chapter 20 of Exodus, God reveals his 10 commandments, his 10 words, his message for life. And notice how God, in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, Jesus gives Simon Peter another word here in verse 10, a word of certain comfort and encouragement and purpose for life. Don't be afraid. How often we need to hear this. Do not be afraid. From now on, you're going to be catching people. It's a transforming word from the master, and it is all that Simon needs. It's all that the other guys need. They understand Jesus' gracious offer of an apprenticeship for life. Do you understand about an apprenticeship with Jesus for life? The privilege of just being with Jesus, to become more and more like Jesus, to learn how to do the things that Jesus does. It's a little different in our times, but back then, every rabbi was followed by disciples. A disciple is a learner, someone who's learning through apprenticeship to become more like the rabbi. Just as every master tradesman trains apprentices to become the same kind of tradesman. It's how you learn to do the work. Plumbing, electrician, so many of the trades, right? It's how you learn to do the work successfully. It's not just theory, it's very practical. It's very hands-on. We could ask, how did Luke, the author of this gospel account, how did he become a physician? Well, he spent a long time as an apprentice with a more experienced physician. In our culture, it takes like at least a dozen years of training beyond high school, right? To before you can get licensed as a medical doctor. And the need for learning never stops. You think about those guys playing in the Super Bowl, you know, being the best at what they do in the whole world. And yet they're still learning. And we need to have a quality in our discipleship, our apprenticeship with Jesus, where we're very teachable. Where we never say, no, I know all about that. I know more than you. We need teachability. Do you have the discipleship quality of teachability? We might even ask, how did Luke become such a spiritual leader in the early church? A man used by the Holy Spirit to write this gospel account of Jesus and then volume 2, which is the book of Acts. Well, Luke lived as an apprentice following Jesus through the influence of a Jesus follower named Paul, right? Disciple making is a personal apprenticing. And when you study the kind of the life and times, you find out like these young Galilean fishermen were the guys who really got passed over for apprenticing with one of the local Jewish rabbis. They didn't make it on that like higher track. And so they're doing the family business out there on the lake. They're fishing like their father and their father before them. Fishing is for most of us a hobby, if you're into that. But for them, it was their life's work. It was very hard work. It was honest work. They were putting food on their table by putting food on other people's tables. But what you should do with your life, listen, it's best determined by the word of Jesus. And you don't need to be fearful of anything when Jesus is in your boat, because he has the authority. He is the Lord. He is the master and commander, and he is worthy of everything. And nothing is more valuable than following Jesus. And so each of us, well, we're either becoming less like Jesus every day, or we're becoming more like Jesus every day. And being more like Jesus is totally dependent on following his gracious word. We are like Simon. We are sinful. We are unworthy of Jesus' life-transforming presence. But Jesus came to call sinners to repentance and faith in him. He came to save. And Jesus can be your life. Jesus' life can be your life, but you must let go of your nets and you must follow him as an apprentice. When Simon and the others got to the boats and they got this supernatural catch of fish to shore, isn't it just amazing how they cashed in and they expanded their company. They bought more boats. They got used to living their best life now. Is that what it says? No, they didn't do any of that. What did they do? Luke says they left everything and they followed Jesus. They left everything. They left their possessions, all they possessed, no longer depending on all that stuff for life. In fact, they left everything that was in the way of being an apprentice of Jesus, because now their life was forever changed by Jesus. In the grace of the Lord, they recognized the better value of following Him. There is a cost of discipleship, but recognize there is a higher cost of not being a disciple of Jesus. And when you begin to see who Jesus is, you begin to see why you need Him so much. Jesus' life can be your life, but you must let go of your nets and follow Jesus as His apprentice. We know how an apprenticeship works. You know, basically the master says, okay, well, you watch me do what I do. And then the second step is, okay, now you help me do what I do. And then the master says, okay, well, now I'll help you do what I do. And then you get to the point where the master says, well, I'll watch you do what you do, because now the student is like the teacher. And this maps onto the disciple-making process very well, right? Jesus calls for followers who will leave everything and fish with Jesus to be like Jesus by catching a harvest, not of fish, but of people. Because there's no greater catch. Jesus came to save His people from their sins. Instead of catching fish and taking away their life, catching people for Jesus is how people truly come alive. And literally, in the original language, Jesus says, He uses the words that mean, from now on, you'll be catching men alive. Every person is needy for the word of Jesus, and only His word is life. We are sinful. We are spiritually dead in our sin against God. And apart from Jesus, we are justly deserving of the eternal death penalty. But the word of Jesus is the gospel. It's the good news of new life in God's kingdom. The life that Jesus secured for us and for everyone who will follow His call. In the words of Jesus, what is more valuable than the kingdom of God? What is more valuable than eternal life with Jesus? What will a man give in exchange for his life? What will it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? See, Jesus offers a radically better life than any lifetime without Him. But the Lord Jesus is calling you to let go of your thing, your empty nets. He's calling you to launch out into the deep to experience what He will do for His glory through you. Because it's really all about Jesus. Simon Peter's trembling confession before the Lord reveals a heart of repentance and faith, and the experience of Jesus' grace is so life-changing. Simon's no longer thinking he knows more about fishing than Jesus, or that he knows more than Jesus about anything. But what about you? How often are you exhausted and frustrated and discouraged by pouring your life out to get your thing done, thinking, you know, maybe you know all about this. And how often do you want to tell Jesus, hey, I've been working the work, but I'm not getting anywhere. I've got empty nets. The encouragement here is to be honest with Jesus. Confession is good for the soul. Be honest about your need. Confess. We all need to confess that we're sinful and we're undeserving of the solution that Jesus offers, but that is exactly what is so amazing about His grace. Jesus provides what we can't provide for ourselves. Stop fearing. Stop trusting in your nets. Are you ready to follow the word of Jesus? Because I'm telling you, this is what matters. If you want to live a life without regrets, this is what matters. There's so many voices. Social media just like expands the number of voices coming at us. And we can fall into those habits of just scrolling, you know. And we're so used to hearing all the usual definitions of success and all the worldly expectations that the world presses on us. But Luke is writing so that we will have certainty about following Jesus. These men followed Jesus because they were certain that leaving everything else behind on the beach was totally worth it. They were certain because they launched into unpromising waters and they saw with their own eyes Jesus is exactly who He claims to be. He is Lord. He is worthy. When Jesus gets into Simon Peter's boat, Simon knows Jesus as a rabbi, an amazing rabbi. He calls Jesus master. He's even willing to put up with Jesus' fishing idea. But then Simon realizes Jesus is more wonderful than you could ever expect. Fishing with Jesus to be like Jesus. Learning to fish to see other people caught up in His grace. There's nothing that compares with being an apprentice of the Master. So what are you going to do with His Word? Maybe you've been resisting the Word of Jesus. Maybe it goes in one ear and out the other because you're like, okay, well, you know, I did my good thing. I came to church. But I'm not really like I know better. I've got my thing. I got my plans. If Jesus is not present in your life as your Lord today, the good news is that today can be the day of your salvation. If you will confess your need of repentance, if you will follow Jesus into eternal life. Jesus came to catch people, to save people alive. Eternal life. And church, we celebrate this table today because we have been caught up in the forgiving grace of Jesus. Aren't you glad that when we say, Lord, I'm sinful, He doesn't say, oh, yes, you are. You are so sinful. You are too sinful for me to use you. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't say that? He meets us in our need, in our sin, with His solution and His satisfaction of salvation. He's about fishing to rescue all kinds of people. And He's calling us to follow Him. He affirms our purpose as fishers of men. We live in His presence with the Father's blessing and with the Spirit's power. And church, Jesus uses forgiven sinners like us as fishers of all kinds of people. And here's the thing. If we are faithful to the word of the Master, then that's success. If we're faithful to the word of the Master, Faith Bible Church, we're going to have more success than we can imagine right now. So the encouragement is to keep looking to Jesus in love because He is lovingly looking at you. Stay focused. And one day, that day is coming when we will hear Jesus say, "Well done. Well done. You are a good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Master." And because we know that is true, what will keep us from fishing with Jesus to be like Jesus? What would keep us from leaving everything behind that gets in the way? What is it that could ever distract us from being apprentices with Jesus? Just being with Jesus to become more like Him so that we can do the things that He wants us to do. Brothers and sisters, if we follow the word of Jesus, what does He say? He says we'll be delivered from our fears and our anxieties. We'll be delivered from our distractions and our deceptions. We will experience all of the favor of His Lordship in our lives. And we will never, ever need more than He supplies. Maybe you're thinking, as we're talking about this text, how similar it is to the text in John 21. Remember Peter, James, and John after Jesus is risen. And He meets them on the beach. And why are they there? Because they've been fishing. Because sometimes we want to go back to our old ways. We want to just go back to the old nets. Like Peter. And then the risen Lord shows up with more grace. Grace upon grace upon grace. It's amazing grace. So Jesus' life can be your life, but you must let go of your nets and follow Jesus as His apprentice. The past is in the rearview mirror. Hallelujah. What are you going to do with the word of Jesus from now on? I want to invite you to just maybe bow your head and think on these things and just sit with them for a minute. I pray that you will reflect on them through the week. But right now, in this moment, what is that next step for you as an apprentice of Jesus? I encourage you just to pray. And yield your heart. Father, we thank You for sending Jesus to be our Savior. Jesus, You are the Lord and You are amazing. And we thank You for this text. We thank You that You came to die and be to rise again from the grave so that in victory we can have the life that You offer us. And I pray that You would help all of us to recalibrate, Lord, our understanding of worship, of the value of being your apprentice, so that we would leave behind everything that gets in the way. Everything. Because you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of our lives. To you belongs the praise, as we read from the psalm this morning. You are the King. And we are happy to be your servants. We are happy to be yours. We're happy to be your apprentices. So have mercy on us, Lord, and help us to move forward as a community in your grace. And we pray this for your glory. I'm going to just continue our prayer this morning as we conclude, continue our prayer and song.